Hello and welcome to the WIP, the What If Podcast. That's a work in progress. I am your host, the ignominious, the iridescent, the Slim James. Joined in studio once again by my man, the co-host, the cohort, the winner of the first ever Andrew the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, Andrew the Giant.
It's true. I am here.
So, the Amazing Spider-Man 2 is coming out. So Spider-Man is on our minds. Well, Spider-Man's always on my mind. I could talk about Spider-Man forever because, you know, when I was growing up, my first comic book was the a reprint of Amazing Spider-Man where he has one arm and is fighting the lizard. It's broken. It's not cut off. I didn't really realize
he has two arms.
Yes. But, like, he, you know, he's fighting him one-armed. I didn't really realize the irony of that until, like, I was older, you know? Blizzard has one arm.
Oh.
But then, huh? Yeah. So, we're discussing Spider-Man today. I love Spider-Man.
Insert segue here.
I dressed up as Spider-Man not too recently as an adult. I think I won as Spider-Man. I'm the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. Well, people, I think, would assume when you say you dressed up as Spider-Man that it probably wasn't within the past couple years, but...
Yeah, well, I was, you know, like Spider-Man. I liked Spider-Man because I looked like Peter Parker. Skinny kid, brown hair, glasses. I have an Aunt May.
Do you?
Yes. No Uncle Ben, though.
Well, because he's dead.
Well, we didn't even eat Uncle Ben rice. It's always Rice-A-Roni. So, Spider-Man becomes a crime fighter because of his sense of responsibility from letting a burglar run past, and said burglar then ironically kills Uncle Ben.
For no reason.
You would think it'd be a coincidence. Well, you know, he spooked him.
Martin Sheen's not a spooky guy.
He is. Have you ever talked to Martin Sheen?
Have you?
Well, just think about, he spawned Charlie Sheen, so there's obviously got to be some sort of...
I guess I didn't realize you had so much stake in...
genetic
Martin Sheen.
Martin Sheen's creepiness.
Yeah,
because he talks, everything is just all... But our first What If is Volume 1, Number 19. What if Spider-Man had never become a crime fighter? But it's not if what if Spider-Man didn't get his powers. As we see from the cover, Spider-Man is still Spider-Man, but he's a TV celebrity with a spectacular spider cape.
Could have easily been a professional wrestler then, too.
Well, yeah, with his debut match against Bonesaw McGraw. May he rest in peace.
What happened?
Heart attack. I'm going to guess that's what killed the Ultimate Warrior, too.
Yeah, probably. He's only, what, 55 years old?
Yeah. And
50-something?
And what's his face? The Warrior is 54. Which is ancient for a wrestler, but still not old.
How old is Hulk Hogan?
60? If maybe the later 50s.
So he's
50s.
The oldest wrestler ever.
Pretty much. Well, no, Ric Flair is even older than him.
Oh, good lord. Ric Flair's 97 years old.
Yeah, and still he just cuts himself for fun and starts bleeding all over the place.
Is he still doing things?
No.
Good.
They finally were like, you know.
You
but it was just amazing because from like 2002 to 2003 was the year where he went from being old Nate to melty, like
leathery,
just dripping wet all the time. And his hair is just like...
Yes, even when he was in a suit, yeah. His hair is dripping wet.
And he just went from looking like an old version of Ric Flair to a scraggly monster.
Leaky.
Yes, he started leaking. Sprung a leak somewhere, managing Triple H to beat Booker T and call him racial epithets.
Yes.
Gotta love 2003 Triple H. But enough...
So that's our wrestling segue.
Yeah, well, we could talk more wrestling, but I'm actually going to release this later, so it'll be even more out of date. But, yeah. Besides, we got to save that for the Wrestling Is podcast when everyone's around.
Ultimate Warrior died last night. That's why we're talking about it.
Thanks for the recap.
Yeah. He died.
So, this issue, what if Spider-Man had never become a crime fighter? The basic premise is Spider-Man trips the burglar or shoots some web at him. He doesn't kill Uncle Ben. So you'd think, you know, well, Spider-Man's happy and stuff, and he lives happily ever after. But he becomes a TV star, but obviously not a great one, because he's immediately shown shilling deodorant.
Isn't there a Cirque du Soleil type situation that Spider-Man could join? He's wearing a cape.
This would be, you know...
That's his deodorant cape?
No, it's his spectacular spider cape that he uses for caping. He wears it like one page in the comic. I'm a little disappointed that we didn't get more spider cape. But, well, this is, you know, late... We assume when this was published and, you know, looking back, that the events in this took place late 60s, early 70s. So, I don't know how much Cirque du Soleil. Probably more regular circus.
Yes. Cirque du regular.
Yes.
You also don't see too many non-flying superheroes wearing capes.
Because if he's you just actually see if you think about
swinging around with I mean he can swing.
If you think about it too much, you realize that actually there aren't a lot of Marvel heroes, especially good ones, that have capes. You got like Thor,
Doctor Strange.
Yes, although his actually does stuff, so he's got that going for him. But then, you know, I'm thinking of like Justice, and like others, just like flunkies, Captain Ultra.
Yeah,
he exists.
But there aren't many capes.
No, Doctor Druid, you know. You have like Thor, Doctor Strange, and
Doctor Doom also had one.
Well, yeah, that's more of a cloak,
I guess.
Besides,
and cloak.
But he's made of cloak. He's not. He doesn't wear it. He is it. TV star Peter Parker, Spider-Man, reveals his secret identity to Aunt May and Uncle Ben. And he becomes increasingly obnoxious as he gets famous.
Does he still live with them?
While
he's famous? Because it seems like as a deodorant spokesman, he'd probably get enough money to not have to live it.
We don't really worry about his
uncle's house. I'm just curious.
We don't really worry about his living situation. Cause
why isn't what if Spider-Man moved out?
Oh, man. He struggles to pay rent. He's like, God, mac and cheese all week. Sorry.
Day to day, Spider-Man.
So, for some reason, Spider-Man ambushes J. Jonah Jameson with a plaque presentation. I didn't really get it. And actually, the art in this book gets a little cartoony, where people's eyes just start, like, popping out of their head. Not literally cartoon pop-out, but they get very large, and everyone's like, and all of these incredulous actions that are happening. The whole thing gets kind of silly, too, because, you know, Spider-Man's walking around being a TV star, so I guess the art matches isn't completely inappropriate. Then Spider-Man becomes the agent. Not an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., but the...
The U.S. agent?
No. Yeah. The a representative for the Avengers, Fantastic Four, X-Men, and Daredevil. He's like, I got this fame thing down. We'll rep. And
what does he do for them? Television appearances?
Well, he gets Daredevil a billboard and says, Daredevil presented by Spider-Man. I don't even know what that means.
Did he show Daredevil his new billboard?
Yeah. Well, he does show him the error of his ways in when it starts out, Daredevil's wearing his red and yellow costume. And Spider-Man's like, no, dude, that looks dumb. Wear this all red getup. Plus,
what are you, blind?
Plus a cape. Yeah.
Daredevil?
Yeah, give him a cape and a pitchfork.
Oh. He does have Devil in his name.
Yes.
So, of course.
Yes, there it is. But, you know, Spider-Man's rationale is that all this publicity will help these vigilante heroes in the court of public opinion when they're, you know, causing massive amounts of property damage playing with their friends.
Yeah.
Spider-Man gets more and more obnoxious. Then he starts going straight up corrupt, and he shakes down J. Jonah Jameson for money or, like, positive publicity, and then says he was taking money from the guys, maybe the like Ox and Hammerhead, like are they called the Enforcers?
Yeah, I think so.
They're not the Circus of Crime, though. Which is another thing caped Spider-Man could have joined.
Yeah.
Ringmaster with his hypno top hat.
Well, he's got to pay rent, so he's going to...
So yeah, he's going to start shaking him down, you know what I'm saying? So Spider-Man starts setting up scripted supervillain fights to make himself look good. But oh man, they start to turn most foul. Yes, it seems that someone is out to get Spider-Man. This turns out to be the Sinister Six, who we assume were probably just doing their own villain thing while Spider-Man wasn't fighting them and having a cape. You know, it's just one of those things where lots of the other stuff in the universe is probably going on, but yeah, we don't worry about it until, you know, it's relevant and we're looking at it.
They were around before Spider-Man.
Well,
happened.
Their origins are not necessarily dependent on the existence of Spider-Man. It's just who they ran into that day. But yeah, so the Sinister Six are plotting against them, and then there's a seventh, and their leader in a cloak, J. Jonah Jameson.
What?
Yes, but J. Jonah Jameson. Shit.
Because Spider-Man stole money from him?
Yes.
How much money did he steal?
Well, he made him look bad in like...
A couple 20s?
No, he didn't steal money from him. He said he was connected with organized crime.
Oh, don't worry about it.
Yeah. So,
So killing him will fix that.
Yeah. So Spider-Man, who's now not necessarily corrupt anymore because he's fighting for his life, and his best friend Daredevil... defeat the Sinister Six, and Spider-Man sees the error of his ways. The end. So, in all, it's scissors. What if Spider-Man had never become a crime fighter? Well, he does. I think he that's...
It just takes longer.
Yeah, and he still learns life lessons. With great power comes great not being an asshole.
Yeah, just don't be a jerk.
Yeah.
They've announced... The director, I think, for the Sinister Six movie that they're making. So that's happening.
Is it going to have Jamie Foxx?
Maybe. Maybe it will have their origin story without Spider-Man.
There it is. And then they can show up and beat him up.
Spider-Man versus the Sinister Six movie. And there you have it.
There it is.
It's coming.
Well, yeah. There's more to come on the whole movies and stuff. So for this issue... I don't know that I could give it a real recommend. The story's sort of silly and sort of bounces along, and the art's sort of goofy and cartoony. There's probably worse stuff out there.
Oh, there's definitely worse stuff.
But, not necessarily one of my favorites.
The worst Spider-Man is still eons above many other things.
Yeah. Like anything involving Jack Flagg.
Like that NFL.
But does that have Spider-Man in it?
It does have Spider-Man.
So, well, that's because it's a book put out by Marvel between the years 1961 and 19...
Look, you should buy this. Spider-Man's here too.
Yeah.
The Linebacker, I think that's his name.
And
it's a collector's issue. It says so right on the cover.
You can tell those are the ones that...
Yes, those are the ones that are going to be worth millions of dollars because they tell you.
Yes.
Right on the cover.
Well, you don't see it a lot, so it's rare, so it's good. So our next issue in examining Spider-Man's origins is a different take. It's a one-shot from 2004. What if Aunt May had died instead of Uncle Ben? Whoa! So first off, the cover is just sort of straightforward. See Uncle Ben looking at Aunt May, Spider-Man literally hanging out. Get a quick recap of the events of Spider-Man's origin. Bitten by a radioactive spider, and then letting the crook go. But here, instead of shooting the Uncle Ben, he shoots Aunt May.
Well, why is Aunt May out there? Is she out looking for the same thing as what Uncle Ben was doing? He ran off.
So. Well, it says that, I guess... I don't know that this was ever a huge part of the story.
No, probably not.
What I'm about to say.
Oh, yeah, that. I'm telling you, it's not.
that Aunt May was out of the house because she went to go get a gallon of milk. But in this universe...
That's what old ladies do.
What if Uncle Ben got the gallon of milk?
Constantly getting milk.
Yes. So Uncle Ben gets the milk and Aunt May is home and gets straight up shot. Seriously, this trigger-happy thief... You could just punch Aunt May. You don't need to shoot her.
Or if you just tell her to sit down.
Yeah.
If you have even a gun, I will listen to you.
Even if she has fighting spirit, she also has osteoporosis, so... Yeah.
Just push her into...
Karate chop, broken tibia, there you go.
Problem solved.
So, yeah.
But you can't leave any witnesses, though.
She probably has dementia, too, right. So... He looks like
would
my...
Would you risk it?
He looks like my son, Petey. That's not your son. Shh.
Can't risk it.
She has to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does.
Because Aunt May is killed, Petey gets super pissed. Because, like, you know...
He loves Aunt May more than Uncle Ben.
Pretty much. Plus, you know, it's sexist. She's more helpless, so he's like... Ah! So he tracks down the burglar. And then Uncle Ben tracks them down. I don't know how he has his spider sense tuned, but whatever. Maybe some of that great power Uncle Ben was always talking about. Yeah. Maybe Uncle Ben actually had superpowers, and that's what he was talking about.
Maybe.
With his great responsibility.
They didn't work out too well against that burglar, did they?
Well, he's not bulletproof. He just has psychic mind meld powers with Petey.
Anyway, regardless of his powers, he still died.
Well...
His hypothetical powers.
Yes.
Fictional powers.
More fictional.
Yes.
Fictionaler. Spider-Man tracks down the burglar and punches him through a window, kind of like the movie Ghost, except instead of getting impaled and having cheesy black creatures drag you down, he just falls out and dies.
How high up is this window?
Even if it was like the second story, if you lead with the neck, okay. You're gonna die.
First story window is not gonna necessarily die.
No, but it shows that he looks down. He's far enough away so that he'd make a splat.
That's a big part of the story.
Yeah, in killing the burglar, Uncle Ben sees this because he just managed to come in the convenient nick of time, and so he takes the blame instead of Peter and goes to prison because you know he's a nice guy like that.
Why don't just leave. Get the hell out of there.
Yeah. Well, we assume that the cops are already there. And
plus, they were waiting.
Yeah. Plus, it's like, you know, someone has to take responsibility, so Uncle Ben will take responsibility.
Because with great power.
Yes. With his theoretical fictional or superpowers comes with this great responsibility.
That's his superpower is just being super responsible.
Yes. He never lets anything burn on the stove because he's always taking care of it. Yeah. So without Aunt May or Uncle Ben in his life, so even though he's alive, but he's in prison. So in this universe, even though he hasn't lost Uncle Ben, he's still lost Uncle Ben. Without both of them in his life, Peter gets more aggressive as Spider-Man. And hearkening back to our previous issue, threatens J. Jonah Jameson. He's like, leave me alone.
Again?
Yeah.
Seriously, leave him alone.
So, you know, he's getting all pissy and stuff. And then they trip him in the cafeteria, as Flash Thompson is wont to do. And he gets super pissed and just becomes a runaway train.
Spider-Man does?
Yeah.
Because somebody tripped him, so he runs away?
Yeah, he's like, ah, I don't like being picked on. So, you know, runaway train never coming back. Yeah. So he still ends up, you know, fighting crime, but more as a way to make money because of those rewards that may or may not pop up when necessary.
Bounties.
Yeah.
Perhaps. He goes to Hawaii and teams up with Dog, the bounty hunter. No?
No.
That's not in there?
No. He does kill Green Goblin lickety-split in the heat of battle. So.
Yes, he should.
No. Well, you know, all of this rage and this fighting stuff, it isn't enough for Spider-Man. So he tries to break Uncle Ben out of prison. But Uncle Ben, with his super responsibility, has none of it. And also, part of Uncle Ben's superpowers is his super pep talks. So he gives Peter a super pep talk, and he turns his life around. And things end up mostly the same after. Which, you know, can be sort of a lame cop-out ending to a lot of these what-ifs, where, oh, even though stuff...
It just takes a different path.
Yeah, it just gets the same thing.
Yeah.
Wow, what if everything was the same? Yeah, overall, this isn't really that interesting. You know, if you think this more aggressive, this dark Peter Parker / Spider-Man looks like it could do something, but it just sort of peters out and he becomes...
Peters out?
Oh!
Pun intended?
No, that was pun intentional.
Oh, there's another one.
But we shouldn't Parker on these too much. But yeah, we end up with same old Spider-Man. So ultimately, it's not that interesting. But in opening up the issue, I'm looking at an advertisement for the ill-conceived Elektra movie. Whew.
Looks can kill, it says.
Yeah, well, after I've looked at that movie,
January 14th,
I want to jam some size in my eyes. Have you seen Elektra?
Yes, I have.
I
still have not seen Daredevil, but I've seen Elektra.
Oh, I can barely. Oh. I can barely tell what's going on, and I know I don't care.
Yeah, that was a bad idea.
Yeah.
She doesn't seem like one that you would want to make a movie about. Seems like there's others.
Yeah, but you got that Jennifer Garner. She was, you know, a hot commodity.
Yeah, I guess.
So, you know, we gotta churn them out. Because clearly, based on the success of Daredevil, we need to expand this universe. Exactly. So, that wraps up part one of our Spider-Man two-parter Spider-Stravaganza. Next episode, we'll discuss something almost as important as Spider-Man's origin, the ill-conceived, ill-fated, ill-received clone saga. So in closing, I will remind you to follow us on Twitter at TheSlimJames or at Giant_Size, TheSlimJames.com, GiantSizeComicThings.com, the WIP What If Podcast is on iTunes, on Stitcher, on YouTube, and on Vimeo. So go out there and find us. And remember, don't spend the rest of your life asking, what if?